This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
Are we rolling? Is the red light an indicator, is it? Yes, I suggested yesterday we could, or I could proceed with a theme from you, rather than me think of something. You can inspire me. What did you think of?
I thought
of the subject. Yeah. Good.
My question is, as the years go by, I've noticed a tendency within myself to kind of, to lose a sort of inspiration a little bit for the practice, and that I just kind of find myself going through the motions rather than maybe having the, the inspiration. And kind of when I was first practicing, I kind of, everything was so, new and exciting. And
so what's your subject?
So my question is just to, how does one just keep going back to that spirit?
That's a very good topic, actually, and I think one that we can all relate to, and it's very much part of the landscape of the journey, completely unavoidable. And I don't think it matters who you are and how committed you are. This is always one of the many challenges that we get, one of the many sort of things that come along to test us, to help throw us off on a tangent. Because I think once you've been doing this for a while, I think probably most of you agree, it's not something that you can then walk away from. So once you start the practice, the training, and you get to a certain point, there's a magical point somewhere, which I guess differs from person to person, where without really knowing, you get to a point where you can't give it up. There is a stretch at the beginning, no doubt, where you can decide that this is not for you. And I don't mean the tradition, I mean the training. there is a point for most of us, where you do have, where you're definitely in that position of making, where you make a decision if you want to carry on or not. And very often, in that, when you're in that place, if you'd find this is not inspiring, I mean, I guess maybe you did find something that inspired you originally to bring you to the training, or to bring you to the subject, or just to the, at least to come and taste it. See if you if it's something for you. I guess you must have read something or heard something that inspired you, that gave you that impetus to thought, well, this guy, yeah, I like this. I'll give it a try. But if you find that once you start that it isn't how you imagine, that inspiration that sort of helped to get you interested, get you going, is no longer there, that inspiration falls away, and it's not giving you that momentum, and you're still in that place where you can say, well, I don't want to do this. This is not for me. And then you go off and you do something else. So that inspiration was really quite short-lived. it fell away. Once that fell away, you decided, well, this is not for me. I'm going to, well, do something else or not do anything, whatever. And that's the end of it. But if that inspiration was there for you at the beginning, and it must have been there for all of us, something that definitely sort of lifted you in some way, so it made sense to you, gave you some impetus, and it helps to carry you through a good time. A length of time which will differ for all of us, and then it goes into change and it falls away. But you've reached the point where you can't decide to dump this. You find, you may say, oh, I'm fed up with this. But you soon come to realise, actually, you can't give it up. You've started something that you can't now stop. But you're not, you don't have that inspiration anymore. But you can't stop. And the nature of inspiration is that it has to be emotional. I mean, you may read something that can be quite insightful, but it gets to you, I think, emotionally, and it gives you a lift, and it gives you that energy and that that willingness to battle on, as it were, or carry on, hold on. And that's a very skillful thing to have with you. But having gone past the point of no return, but not finding something that inspires you can be quite difficult. And it is emotional, and you must always expect that the inspiration you get, whether it's from a person, whether it's just, you know, from something that you read, something you hear, that gives you that lift, will go into change. It's not going to last forever, and inspiration is not going to be good enough. It's a tool. It's something very useful to have, but you can't rely on it to take you on this journey continually and forever, always to be inspired. It's going to ebb and flow. And like I say, when you get to that point where you feel you can't give it up anymore, but the inspiration that you had, that you've been carrying, falls away, that becomes a challenge, because if that continues, if you don't get that inspiration, whatever the source may be, and the source will change, it won't be the same thing. It will be different things that will just give you that buoyancy, that lift. if you can't find, you're in a position where you can't sort of go back, but you can't find anything to invigorate you, this is where you begin to drop into, I think, this is where you drop into the comfort zone, where you find a place and you start to cruise. You can't give up, but you can't go on, as it were. And so you just cruise, and you find yourself a little space where you're just, yeah, I've got to practice, and of course I'm practicing the Dharma, and I certainly haven't given up, but you just find this place where you don't get any inspiration, and you then cease to challenge yourself, take yourself to places where you're being challenged, situations where you need that commitment, so that you don't fall into that bubble. And I think that happens to an awful lot of people, that they go along, they're inspired, they've got this, of course it's the newness, you call it the honeymoon, if you like, you're doing something new, and it has a lot of meaning to you, and it's having an effect on your life. But then you're going to plateau. There's a guarantee you're going to plateau. I don't care who you are, what sort of a practice you have, how things quickly turn for you. You're gonna even out somewhere along the line. And that's a very dangerous place. Danger in the sense that you then lack the commitment. Your commitment falls away. And because you've got the experience, you've got a little taste of how it all works, you find yourself a nice little space where you can cruise along, play the game, but not really ever be challenged anymore. As soon as you come up against something that is a bit challenging, you back off. You don't feel that inspiration that takes you, that encourages you to step outside of your comfort space, to challenge your limitations as you perceive them to be. You don't have that energy there anymore. So you back off. And I think this is pretty common, actually. And I think the longer you go, and if you don't feel change taking place, and you don't feel inspired, then you do. You can just slip into that place, and you can drift for years. And you may convince yourself that things are changing, or it's all worthwhile, or what, I don't know. But it becomes a lifestyle, and you probably found yourself an environment, and you found yourself people, like-minded people, and it becomes like a lifestyle, which is, you know, obviously could be awful. Lots of other lifestyles you could have which wouldn't be so desirable. I'm not suggesting that, but you know, this is about change. This is about keeping yourself on the edge and being, having that commitment and always to be feel challenged by your practice, and unless you feel challenge, and unless you feel you're on the edge and you feel a little bit uncomfortable with things, then things aren't going to change. That's the way it works. You have to take yourself to a place where it feels a bit, it's called dukkha. And in that dukkha, things have the potential to shift to the habits that we've all got. Can begin to fall away. You begin to withdraw from your habits, the habits of looking after yourself. So you drop the habit and place yourself in an uncomfortable place, and learn to sit and to bear with, and learn the skills and the tools of being able to work with these situations. And when you do, then you're always in the. There's always the potential for change, for your habits to fall. That's the training, and we learn those tools, and we get the familiarity with all of these things. And this all becomes part of the spiritual journey. Something that you should always feel is challenging. It's a challenging thing to do. It isn't a place to be comfortable in all of the time. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeling comfortable. I certainly enjoy it and enjoy the fruit, of course. But not for that to be there all the time. If it's to be meaningful for you, then you have to feel as though you are being challenged. So that being challenged means that you feel a bit uncomfortable. If you're not feeling challenged, then you're cruising. And to bring yourself to that place of being challenged, which is going to be uncomfortable, and to maintain that, that's not easy. That's not easy. I'm saying you don't have to be like this all of the time, because then that could may begin to have a bit of a whiff of willfulness about it, that you're forcing yourself into something. It isn't like that. This is an ebb and a flow due to circumstances and your own position, your own emotions. But standing back and look at the picture, it's like you're always leaning into your comfort zone, or leaning on the parameters of your comfort zone. Whereas so many forces within you are pulling you back from that, bringing you back into the comfort zone. And to maintain that commitment there, it's a challenge, you know. I mean, we can all go with the honeymoon and the newness of it. But you know, I don't know. Starting putting numbers on these things, months. You can probably get out in the first few weeks, maybe the first few months. But then when you start coming into the years. It takes commitment. It's not a big deal to say that you've been practicing for 20 years, but you know, maybe you spent many of those years in the comfort zone because it's become a lifestyle for you and you like it. And why shouldn't you like it? It's a lovely place to be, lovely people. You're not in the madness of the world most of the time, and it's a lovely place to take refuge in. And like I say, you can cruise. But because you've been practicing for 20 years, you know, what does that mean? It means that, you know, that you consider yourself to have a practice for 20 years, but when you look at it, maybe you sort of gave up quite a few years ago, in which that initial inspiration and energy and commitment that you had for the first few years is just, it's lost its edge, and you become familiar with everything. And what you've done, you found your little niche, how you can cruise along without having to really face up to yourself, which is what this is about. And that is why we should always be checking, always be looking at our practice, look at yourself in the mirror, so to speak, and ask yourself and be absolutely honest with yourself. You know, am I really committed to this, or am I just cruising along? Cruising along, if that's what you want to do. It's always your decision. Nobody can make you go one way or the other. And like I say, you could do a lot. You could do a lot worse things in your life, for sure, other than cruise. But don't expect to get the fruit that's promised with this training. And so to keep that going, so after 20 years, for example, 10 years, 5, 10, 20 years, you can look back and say, well, I've committed myself there. And along that journey, you're going to be challenged continually or very regularly, even the most committed people. And one of the tools or one of the experiences that we can have that's going to give us that energy, that's going to encourage us to keep going, is inspiration, is to be inspired. Well, where do you get your inspiration from? Actually, I think the best inspiration that you can possibly get, that actually can go beyond an emotional impermanent experience, which most inspiration tends to have that type of nature, is to be inspired by your own practice and to be inspired by your own the what's come out of your practice, and to see that what you're doing is so incredibly positive that actually, if when you look around, how could you possibly be more positive with your life? What better way could you spend your life, other than to know yourself and to wake up to the Dharma and see the Dharma? And the fruit that comes out of that, which is not only for you, but also is not a selfish thing, although we do have to very much work with ourselves. but something that will quite naturally spill out for others. That in itself, if you can get that sort of inspiration, so that you're not looking around you, around at others for that energy, for that lift. If you can do that, then that is the best form of inspiration. Just reflect on what you're doing, and what maybe you used to do with your life, and how now, how much more positive it is, and how life has got meaning. Maybe life for you at one point didn't have any meaning, or you were really looking very hard to find any meaning. Certainly was my case. Why am I getting out of bed this morning for? Could be one good reason why I should get out of bed and just play these games and then go back to bed again. If you can, as I was saying, maybe you could look back on your life and see how life is much more meaningful to you now than it used to be, and how you are being positive with your life. You're not wasting your time. That's the big thing. You're not wasting your time. But feeling that, okay, I'm doing the practice. Of course, there is so much room for improvement, and it's very difficult. It isn't a case of boasting and bragging and what, but say, well, at least I think there's some meaning to my life. And there's a lot of people in this world that would tell you, that would willingly admit there is no meaning to their life. Life is meaningless. But this can be incredibly very, very meaningful. And if you can find that within yourself, I think that is the best form of inspiration, because it's there to be honest. It's very personal, of course. It's there for you to discover, and that will nourish every aspect of your practice. And I think that's always the best place to go to. And that means learning to be positive towards yourself and positive to what you're doing. And when you consider what life used to be like, or what it could be like if I wasn't doing this, where would I be? What would I be doing? What on earth? What would be the... Why would I bother to get out of bed in the morning? You know, there's an awful lot of people think that way. And I certainly thought that way when I was younger. And I think that's... So many people find life meaningless, because most of us can feed ourselves and clothe ourselves. All the things that would motivate so many people in our culture, we don't have any of that. You can literally stay in bed all day and live. You will be fed, you'll be clothed, you'll be housed. You don't have to do anything in our culture, in our society. You don't have to have any motivation. So then when all that's taken care of, which it isn't for an awful lot of people in this world, when that's all taken care of, and you think, well, okay, now what? What's the point of it all? I'm feeding myself every day. What's the point of it all? And life can become so meaningless, and it's very obvious if you look around you that so many people just don't have any inspiration in their life, have any motivation, anything that encourages them to lift themselves up and to change themselves and to improve themselves. Why would I want to do that? There's no direction. There's no vision. There's no inspiration. There's nothing there. But for us, we certainly, none of us are worrying where the next meal comes from. All of those things are all done, and it's all done and dusted. So rather than have a meaningless life, we can have an incredibly meaningful life. So meaningful that every moment of your life becomes, not little bits here and there, but understanding this training, how it works and how you bring it to your life. Every, and I mean literally every moment of this of your life has meaning. There is nothing meaningless when you practice the Dharma. Every single moment, whether it be positive or no, it's easy to say positive things are meaningful and you enjoy them. So that's really. But then when life becomes difficult and you have bad times and things, it's very difficult to eke anything positive out of those times. And you say, well, life is very negative. Life is meaningless. You practice the Dharma even when you're at your lowest ebb. There is meaning. You can extract meaning. You can see the positiveness of that. And actually, there is no such thing as negativity when you practice the Dharma. Everything is positive. Even the negative becomes positive because it gives you the opportunity to learn and to see and to know. Every moment is a gateway to the Dharma. Every moment is that gateway, that doorway into your liberation. So you can't say things are meaningless. So the whole of your life, even though it's pretty mundane in many regards, becomes very, very full, very rich, very meaningful. And you can draw inspiration from that. You say, well, okay, well, at least, you know, I'm not really doing very much in my life in a material sense and sort of goal-orientated of striving to get this, that and the other. You can still look at yourself and sit still and be quiet and ponder and contemplate stuff and say, well, this is so meaning. People look at you and call you a lazy waster. Get off your backside and go out and do something. But to see and to know that, it's so positive. It is so positive because you're in a position of change. You're coming to that place where life can begin to open, where you can begin to see, understand yourself, to see reality and know and discover the secrets of life, the secrets of the universe. And if you can just bring yourself to that place more and see that, especially when, you know, you have these negative times and things are difficult, see that it's all grist to the mill, that actually I'm learning about myself. I've got the opportunity to learn about myself here, that rather than want to go and get drunk or jump out of the window or something just to get away from this experience, I can look at this and I can really get to know myself, get to see and turn that negative into a positive. And the more you get to know yourself, the more you realise what's going on, what you do to yourself, and you are the creator of all of this, and how you can then instigate change through every aspect of your life. There, if you can see that, that is so positive that you're not wasting your life. And if you've got, you don't need inspiration. That is your inspiration. And as I say, I think that's the best. That's the best sort of, the best form of inspiration is to see yourself and get it from yourself. Now that's not always easy to do, and not everybody's in that place. And of course, it's not like that. But you can bring yourself to that place, and then in the end, you don't need anybody. You don't need to hang on to anybody. You don't have to go and listen to people talk and read books and get into fantasies and stuff. You don't need any. What do you need that for? You've got it all with yourself. You've got that contentment with yourself that you don't need this stimulus, this external stimulus all the time just to keep you going. But that's not, you know, that's not something that you find very easily. But if you stick to this training, you will come to that point. It's that you will become, it's like the Buddha said, you're like a rhinoceros that relies and relies on nobody and nothing. In order to live your life, you don't have to go hanging on to other people, desperately holding on to relationships, and just when maybe it's going into change and you desperately, no, and you desperately holding on because you're not secure within yourself. Obviously, you're not secure. Otherwise, if you're secure within yourself, it's very difficult to find to do anything, actually. If you look at yourself and what you do in your life and trace it back, if it's not obvious, practically everything you do comes from insecurity. The whole world moves and operates on insecurity. It doesn't operate on wisdom. Look at it. Everything moves. Everything is just... whole activities of life is all based on fear. Amazing, actually. And we all play our part in that. But actually, you can learn to step out of that and just stand back and let the world go on its crazy way. You don't have to depend on it anymore. And you can get that fulfillment and that completeness within yourself completely from your own reliance, not to rely on others. That's where this will take you. That's called freedom. That's when you go beyond all of this endless stuff that we are neurotically caught by. When you're in that place, you don't need any stimulation, and inspiration is stimulation. You don't need to go looking for things to keep you going and keep you interested. You don't need it. You might do it out of interest, but it's not something that you need. That's where this will take you. So in the end, you are your own inspiration. But of course, it's a journey, and you know, we're not all in that place. But as I say, that's where we can go with this. So then you're not reliant on anybody else, that you don't have to hold on to other people. That's called freedom. That's liberation. That's a cool, spacious place to be, where you no longer are dependent. But in the meantime, to get to that place, it does take commitment, and you have to stay at it and keep at it, because there's so much within you that will not allow you to come to that place, that will always be wanting to take you, to make you dependent. And that inspiration, well, this is an individual thing. You know, what inspires one wouldn't inspire another, so you have to find your own thing that will give you that buoyancy. And I always like to think that when you are committed to the practice and you come into a sangha situation like this, that you do find some inspiration, actually. It may not be something that comes and smacks you in the face, like some personality on TV or whatever, which is what was very obvious and is what people go and look for all the time, want to be entertained and taking out of themselves rather than be with themselves. That's what they call inspiration. But for us, you know, to have Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha in your life, there is your best form of inspiration to come. I mean, we don't have this every day. We meet, actually, if you look over 52 weeks, we're not in each other's faces all the time. But to come along, that's why it's so important, if you're doing this training, is to make absolutely every effort to experience these collective times of training. And draw inspiration from that and refresh yourself. I know for myself that's always been my greatest form of inspiration. Just to be with my own kind, and to know that I'm not alone doing this, because you definitely feel alone when you're out there, when you can't even find a single person who you could even begin to talk to who would have any sense whatsoever of understanding where you're coming from, that would just look at you with a blank face if you began to try to tell them, and they'd just tell you to pull yourself together and go and do whatever they're doing. to come into these situations, into this environment, and to be with it, to refresh yourself. And hopefully when you do leave, you do feel refreshed and inspired. Refresh this inspiration. But what do you mean by inspiration? I mean, do you want somebody to float down and hover above the ground? You know, oh, I'm feeling inspired, you know. I mean, okay, that might be, but that's such an emotional... And what's that going to give you? It gives you something for a little while, entertains you, gives you a little something, and then it goes, and you want them to come again and again and again, to keep lifting you all the time. As you feel lifted, then you start to go down, and you want to be lifted again. And that's its own dukkha then. If you're just relying on that all the time, and a lot of people do, because they spend their whole lives just talking about this and going around listening to teachers, engaging with all the media that goes with what we do now. This basically is what so many people, all they ever do. They certainly don't look at themselves and get their own, find their own inspiration within themselves, find their own Buddha to inspire them. I mean, they're all the time looking to be lifted. Oh, I really like that. That was really good. That was really inspiring. Oh, that talk was so inspiring. And then they're back again the next week looking for another inspiring talk, because that emotional hit that they got, of course, you rely on emotions. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be forever running after stimulation if it's just emotion that's going to give you that charge, because that energy has got a short life. It will run, it will go, it will fade, and then you want another hit, a fix. You want to shoot up another talk, another video, another something or other. And on it goes. And if these things desert you, then you're in real trouble. So, but inspiration is very important. And I like, you know, looking back over my time, I got my inspiration from my being around my teacher, because they had something that I didn't have, and then that was, well, you know, it's possible. And just to get that lift was most of the time, there was something sort of more concrete and real about it. You can, as I say, you can go and listen or read something, but that doesn't have the body, doesn't have the depth for me. That sort of just being inspired just by that sort of living presence for me, and not just my teacher. A few people that I have met in my life who I felt have got something to offer that have spiritually mature. I've found them hugely inspiring people. Just to see their humanness, their warmth, their wisdom, but that it's possible, that it's not all just fanciful idealism, but actually it does work. And they can be very inspiring. And if one of those, well, I had somebody like that, but meeting others, that for me has always been the most uplifting, inspiring to help me to keep going. I think meeting people like that, but they're not, you don't find them on every street corner, unfortunately. And I think, as I say, so often you really got to come back to yourself and find something within yourself. Learn to be positive. Look, be with yourself. Look inside yourself and see the positive aspects of what we do, and take refuge and take inspiration from what you see and what you know, and it's always there to be tapped, to be discovered and to be tapped. That to me is always the best. And for myself, the greatest inspiration I've ever had all the way through is my own training and what's come out of it, I have to say. Right back to the beginning, from when I first sat, the first week, and the way things opened, the experiences that came along, were just amazing. That for me, I suppose, really, I didn't really need a lot more than that. Maybe I was just very fortunate. But they were my own. That was my own inspiration, my own experiences that gave me the lift to keep on, to keep going. And that's why I would always encourage others to seek in that place also, rather than go looking out there for your. By all means, do that too. There's a big picture, but I believe that's the main source. And if you can find it out there, then, you know, lots of lovely books you can read. I mean, the Dharma and you know, individuals' experiences that you can read about, they can be very inspiring. Listen and listen to people. But, like I'm saying, don't rely on that as to be a major source of your practice, because it's very fragile, and anything emotional is fragile and tends to be short-lived. But also, you want more. It tends to be sort of short-lived, and you always be looking for more. And if that's what you're relying on, then it's going to be very difficult for you. Because when it's not there, then what have you got? You know? But those stretches, you have to be prepared. Be prepared to have times when everything does go stale, that you feel like you're not making progress, that things aren't happening for you, and it's the most challenging time. Of course, you can keep going when everything, you'd be inspired by it. When things are going well, then you are inspired by that, which is your own experience. And nobody needs to be encouraged to sit and to come to their practice when things are going well. We need it when we hit the buffers, when it goes stale, whenever, when it's not a pleasant place, it's not a pleasant place to be. And you don't find inspiration. You look for it and you can't find it. Well, that's your own resolve, your own inner strength. That you can't always be titillated whenever you want to be. That sometimes you just got to be with yourself, and sometimes you just got to put up with the way it is at the moment, because that's the way it is. And if that's the way it is, and there is nothing around that's going to give you that inspiration, that lift, then there you are. That's the nature of things. And to have your own resolve, this is when your own inner commitment, your own inner strength, your own resolve comes to the fore to carry you, knowing everything is impermanent, everything changes, that whatever you're going through will not last forever, however convinced you may be, that it won't last forever, that it will go into change, and to hold on to that and to remind you. I mean, that impermanence is impermanence. The knowledge of impermanence, and to see that really not just a lovely idea, but actually that dark time that you're having, that is impermanent. That's impermanent. I mean, that's inspiring. To know that, oh God, this is awful, but if I just hang on and hang on and hang on, it will go into change. That it won't last. And again, I just looking at my time, my training, I mean, I've had stretches. I mean, I think I've mentioned it more than once. I mean, I've always been blessed with good meditation from day one. It's just been for me, it's been amazing. And maybe in that regard, I found the path very easy, because it's been so inspirational for me and so encouraging and so carrying me forward. But I do know, I mean, it's happened several times, but I did have a very long stretch, what I would consider a long stretch. It turned out to be a year and a half where, I mean, it's like I've never meditated before in my life, and I just didn't know how to meditate. And I just, it was impossible to put 2 seconds of any sort of concentration, focus together. It just utterly and completely deserted me, coming on the back of years of being absolutely not like that at all. It just descended. I don't know where it came from, because there was nothing obvious that brought me to that place. It just descended on me. But I never gave up. I still took myself to the cushion every day, sat the period from the beginning to the end, even though I knew what an utter, utter, complete waste of time. What's the point of doing this? Why don't I do something useful, like go and watch Coronation Street on television? Anything would have been useful and positive and worthwhile than sit on this cushion and not, and like, you know, I think I'd sit for an hour a session. That hour would be like 3 hours long. Every day. And every day I took myself to the cushion. Nothing inspired me, nothing lifted me whatsoever. It's only my, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stick it to this. Why? Because this is going to change. If I could convince myself this was going to be like this until the day I die, then that, how I would know that, but if I decided, I managed to put myself in a headspace where this was never going to change until the day I die, that would have been very challenging. But I, again, from my own experience, and just looking at the characteristics of all things are impermanent. And this was, why should this be any different? Everything comes to be and ceases to be. The length of its life, I don't know. Of course I don't know. If I knew, it'd be easy, or it may make it very difficult. I don't know, but I do know that if I stick at this, I know that one day it's going to change. I call that inspiration, because it's a fact. The only thing about it was, of course, I didn't know when it was going to change, and that was the challenge for me, was to stick at it. Until it did show its true characteristic, which is that it ceases to be. And I stuck at it, even though, like I say, it was ridiculous. In terms of, if you've got any idea of meditation being productive, I'm doing this in order to get something. if I was completely locked in on something like that, then that would have made it very, very difficult to sit, because there was absolutely nothing whatsoever coming out of it. I can never say that I was making progress. I was going backwards, if anything. If I'd have bought into that one, that would have made it. I don't know what I would have done with that one if I thought that I had to keep making progress all the time. But I stuck at it. And I think, I would say that's at a time of great low ebb in that week, I think I was pretty much okay within myself. It's just my meditation utterly and completely deserted me. And there was nothing to inspire me other than just the thought that if I stick with it long enough, it's gonna go into change. And I would say I would call that inspiration. You know, maybe most people wouldn't think, they want something a bit more jazzy than that. But for me, I knew that's the truth of it. And it lasted for 1.5 years. And one day I sat down and it just gone. I was back to how I was before. And I don't know where that came from. I had no warning. There were no insights into it. It's like, this is happening because of this. It was just there. And that's really difficult to take, because I couldn't hang any labels on it at all. You know, you think, well, this is the end of the path, mate. You're at the end. You might as well pack up and go and open a fish and chip shop or something. But I stayed with it, and after 18 months, it just vanished. One day, it just wasn't there anymore, and it was gone. How good do you think I felt about myself? I didn't give up. I would have felt really awful if I had given up. Probably had regrets for the rest of my life. But I felt so good about myself that I didn't give up. I stayed with it and saw it through, and it left. And I would say, you know, by golly, do you need inspiration at times like that? And I didn't get inspiration, other than the fact that I knew that it would change. I just held on to that. But it was that inner resolve that if I were relying on inspiration all the time to keep me going, I would have given up, wouldn't I? You don't last 1.5 years. If you're relying on inspiration, you don't last 18 months without any. If that's the only thing that motivates you, keeps you going. So you need that inner resolve to carry you. Just that commitment. This is it. This is what I'm doing. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not good. Good and bad and all that nonsense that you can buy into. It is what it is. Sometimes it's like this and sometimes it's like that. And that's the way it is. And you just go with that. And the more you have of that within you, the less you don't need to be inspired. You don't need that stimulus all the time. I thoroughly accept that it's important. And I like to think at one time in my life, and one time without details, that it's the one thing that was never given to me, actually, was inspiration. And thinking, you know, that so just tickle me, just inspire me, just, you know, just lift the whole thing up a bit. But there was a sort of a doerness that was going on all the time, which never impressed me. But anyway, that's, I don't want to go into that one. So I thoroughly appreciate the need for inspiration. We do need it, even though in its way it can be quite a sort of a nebulous thing that flits by, like a stimulation that's not sort of anything has a sort of great meaning, but it does give you a lift, because we need it. We are emotional beings. This whole training, as I've said over and over, is an emotional journey. This is not an intellectual journey at all. This is an emotional journey. And your emotions do need to be lifted from time to time. But the best person to lift your emotions is yourself. Find ways of inspiring yourself, rather than just sit around and wait for somebody or something from out there to come and lift you. Lift yourself. Look at yourself. Be honest with yourself. Be positive towards yourself. See the goodness that you do and the goodness of this training and the wholesomeness of it and the humanness that this engenders within us, that makes us more of a rounded human being. I mean, that's a rare thing in this world. And that's what you're engaging with. You've committed yourself to that, and you should feel very good about yourself. Even though you fall over so often, it's not the point. It's that you have that commitment, that willingness, that desire to become more human, to be more sensitive and more open and more sensitive to the world and people and things, if you know, that's something to feel good about yourself about, you know, rather than so many of the other options that you have in life of being completely self-centered and not caring about anybody else, which is so common, just looking after number one all the time. I think that's a good reason to feel good about yourself. Okay, I've got a long way to go, but at least I'm trying. And I think that's something that you can feel lifted by, that you're not wasting your time, that you're not a bad person, that you're trying to be, you're a good person, you're trying to be, you're always aspiring to be better. And you're not out there just lining your own pockets and feathering your own nest and all this business. You're actually out there trying to become human, trying to open up, find your true nature and bring those human qualities that transform the world and let them to flow through and to express themselves in the world. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be doing with your life, given all the things that you could be doing. You know, I think that's great inspiration. You could look, there's a perfect, I mean, you get examples of this all the way through. And you've got somebody there who died a couple of weeks ago, Nelson Mandela. Now you look at him, how that man inspired people. And you know, I know there's a lot of politics, there's all sorts of stuff that goes, that he was involved with. But through that, he had qualities. He was just being a human being. And you see the effect that he's had on people, just through forgiveness, which is the greatest of all qualities. And people resonate, people saw it and resonated, and affected their lives, touched their lives, and resonated throughout the world. One man who learned to forgive. That's what human qualities can do. And for us, we're aspiring to that. We don't have to make this into an ego thing, but this is the natural outcome of this training. When self-interest falls away, there's a part of you that begins to shine through, that is selfless, that doesn't belong to anybody, but can touch the whole world, touch everybody in this world. I think that's a pretty good inspiration. You know, at least you're doing your best. At least you're going in that direction. And I think that's something that you can feel good about yourself about. And the more you can open up to yourself in that way, and the positivity from that, like I say, in the end, you don't need anybody. I don't think Nelson Mandela needed anybody. From what little I know about him, I don't think I've ever heard anything about him scrabbling around chasing people, and his doors were opened and he was there just giving with those qualities that just resonated so much with people, changed people's lives. These are just the human qualities that we've all got them. I don't think there's anything special about him in that way. And it flowered through him. It just shows you the potential of the human, of the human being, the human form. The potential is just awesome. And we're going in that, however long it may take, however many lives it may take. That's what we are. That's the path that we're on, and I think that's good enough. And the more you can embrace there, open up and be inspired by that, I think you become a truly independent person, not relying on others to inspire you and to energize you. So that's how I would deal with inspiration. I think it's a big spectrum. It has, there's lots of, there lots of avenues that we can all use. We can all listen to people and take inspiration from those. By all means, read and the rest of it. I think that they're all forms of inspiration, but the greatest inspiration will be from your own inner self, your own true self, and what you're doing. And once that's mature, you won't need anybody or anything, and you'll be completely secure. So that's my answer.